Part 2. Five Kinds of Hard. Chapter 5. That First Scary Step. How to Do Hard Things That Take You Outside Your Comfort Zone. Meet a guy we know named Tyler. Tyler thought about graduating from high school early, but he wasn't sure if he could do it. So he didn't. After high school, he had several ideas for business startups, but he didn't want to risk losing the little money he had if they went under, so he decided to wait. He considered going to college to study environmental engineering, but he was afraid he might change his mind partway through, so he stayed home. Now Tyler is 21 years old, and he hasn't failed at anything. In fact, he hasn't really done anything. He's missed opportunity after opportunity to grow, explore, discover, and get stronger. Life is full of scary things. You start your first day of high school. You deliver your first speech. You get married. Certain events mark important passages in our lives. Before the event, you were one person. Afterward, you are another. But Tyler has spent his life avoiding such firsts. The result? He's basically the same person he's always been. This chapter is about doing hard things that take you from before to after. We look especially at the step that makes the important first possible, the one that takes you from the relative safety of your comfort zone to the scary territory outside it. Just thinking about taking a step like this makes many of us fret, fight, and freeze. We imagine that monsters of terror, shame, and pain will eat us alive. But if we do it anyway, we feel like celebrating. We took that step just over 2 years ago, into the new, leaving the old routines behind. Now, because of those experiences, we're different people. We've been transformed in ways that, sadly, Tyler has never experienced. Doing hard things outside your comfort zone comes first in our list of five hard things that can start a revolution in your life, because, silly as it sounds, taking that first step outside your comfort zone is often the most terrifying hard thing of all. We also put it first because that first scary step is always necessary if we're going to attempt any of the other hard things we'll talk about later. Can you remember something in your own life that at the time seemed entirely beyond you? Maybe it was as simple as tying your shoes or riding a bike without training wheels. Maybe it was learning to read in kindergarten or solving basic math problems in second grade. At the time, each of these things was a major step outside your comfort zone. Today, of course, the same activities barely generate a yawn. As silly as they may seem, each of those achievements proves something very important. If we take a step, despite feeling uncomfortable, afraid, or inadequate, our comfort zone expands. We grow in strength and skill. What we consider normal for us changes, sometimes radically. Take Jared, for example. He took the step to fill in while his youth group's worship leader was away on a mission trip, even though he'd only been playing guitar for a few months. A year later, he's leading worship for the entire church, and his band is looking to put out their first album. "That small step changed my entire direction," says Jared. "It opened the doors for me to do what I never thought possible." The strange thing is that even when teens repeatedly experience the benefits of stepping outside our comfort zones, we tend to respond in exactly the same way to the next new task that comes along. We resist, delay, fight, and scream, all to keep from leaving our cozy little routine. But there's a high cost for choosing comfort. Without even realizing it, we build an invisible fence around ourselves. Nothing challenging is allowed to enter, even if it has the potential to set us free. Inside the fence are all the things we feel comfortable attempting, things we've already done successfully. Outside the fence? Yikes. Whenever we ask teens to list things outside their comfort zones, common fears come up. Public speaking, attempting something new, especially if other people are watching or depending on you, traveling to new places, or meeting new people. These kinds of things seem hard because they're unfamiliar or even scary. But, have you noticed? They usually end up generating our favorite stories and being some of our greatest memories. We've noticed that the fence that keeps us from breaking out of our comfort zone is nearly always built of fear. Fear of weakness, discomfort, failure, humiliation. We've noticed something else, too. You can't live by fear and live by faith at the same time. As Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And when we read about the Bible heroes who accomplished big, hard things for God, we discover the main job requirement. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Fortunately, fears are usually just well-concealed lies. Now, we'll take a look at a powerful truth that can help you break through the fears that are holding you back from accomplishing hard things for God. Think of each of the three statements in the next few minutes as zone breakers. Put these huge truths to work in your choices, and you'll understand why a comfort zone is actually a miserable place, and how you can escape yours. Number 1. God works through our weaknesses to accomplish His big plans. Everyone likes to feel strong and smart. That means as soon as we start to feel stretched or pushed past our limits, we hit the brakes, slam into reverse, and scoot back to our comfort zone. Who wants to risk feeling weak and stupid? Alyssa, a 17-year-old revolutionary from the Philippines, explained her pattern this way. My comfort zone was the place where everything was just the way I wanted it to be, a situation where I never had to make extra effort or do something difficult, a place where I could sit back, relax, and enjoy myself. The problem, she told us, was that when she stayed inside her comfort zone, she was essentially refusing to surrender her life fully to God. She was avoiding the hard things He was calling her to do. Alyssa now realizes that stepping out of her comfort zone made all the difference. Outside of my comfort zone, I learned to lean on God for strength instead of leaning on the small pleasures of this world for comfort. Outside my comfort zone, I found that I could serve God more fully and use all of my talents unreservedly for Him. We don't know about you, but we constantly find ourselves building that invisible fence, the one that keeps threats outside and us inside. We build it higher every time we say or think things like, I'm just not a math person. I'm just not organized. My brain doesn't work that way. Or, I'm just not a people person. What we're really saying is that we don't want to do things that don't come easily or naturally. We don't want to break through our fears. And by our actions, we're also saying that God isn't good and powerful enough to help us do what we can't comfortably do on our own. And that's a lie the enemy loves. So what are our reasons for sitting on our duffs and doing nothing? Number 1, we're not as good at something as someone else we know. Number 2, we don't have all the resources we think we need. Number 3, we figure that the chances of failing and looking like a loser are too high. But do you see the misconceptions hiding in all of these reasons? We're really saying, number 1, God only uses the best and the brightest. Number 2, He only uses us when every last thing is in place. Number 3, He only brings glory to Himself when we bring glory to ourselves, too. Ouch. 12-year-old Karen Kavaka wasn't a people person. She was the 4-year-old who hid behind her mother at the mall, the 7-year-old who refused to come out from underneath her bed to meet dinner guests, and the 12-year-old who burst into tears when she shook a stranger's hand. Now her parents had registered her for a Communicators for Christ conference to help her overcome her fear of people. If Karen had known what attending this conference would actually require, she would have been terrified. As it turns out, she had no idea what she was getting into. At that conference, Karen began taking small steps outside her comfort zone and stumbled upon a revelation. I not only learned how to give a speech, Karen tells us, I also learned that shyness is a form of selfishness, and that I had to overcome my fear of people if I actually wanted to live in the world and demonstrate compassion for others. This first step into the realm of public speaking laid the foundation for a completely different future. From there, her parents enrolled her in a national speech and debate league, where she competed for 4 years. Her journey still included many tears, failures, and uncomfortable experiences, but she had learned that God's strength was greater than her weakness. She chose to compete in the most stretching categories, and by her 4th year, she had earned 9 national rankings. But competitive success was not Karen's dream. At the age of 17, her dream came true when she was accepted to tour with Communicators for Christ, the same organization that had inspired her to leap beyond her limits 5 years earlier. Now 18, Karen is a personal assistant to the organization's executive director and helps train hundreds of young people to overcome their fear of public speaking and become Communicators for Christ. It's amazing what youth can accomplish when they are awakened to what they can be and have at a young age, Karen says. I think young people need to know that it's possible, that pursuing their dreams and goals isn't hopeless. Karen feels that she is a living testimony to God's ability to cover our inadequacy with His sufficiency. Young people want to do something significant, but they need to really believe that with God's help, they can. It turns out that God loves to take stammering boys and shy girls and use them to change lives for eternity. And it's not about feeling strong, it's about obeying God, even when you're afraid. Truth number 2. Courage is not the absence of fear. Fear is the fence that keeps us stuck in our comfort zones. To be fair, we usually feel fear for a reason. Often something is outside that should make us afraid. The problem is when we just sit there. We wait. And we wait. Why? Well, we're waiting to stop feeling afraid before we attempt anything. And just to be fair, we're often afraid to try something new because of painful past experiences. We tried stepping out before, and it blew up in our faces. We poured everything we had into something we cared about, and our efforts fell short. We don't want to embarrass ourselves again. The truth, though, is that it's going to be a long wait. If we wait until the fear and feelings of inadequacy go away, we'll never do hard things outside our comfort zone. Until we take a step in spite of our fears, none of us will ever truly be able to do hard things. If we want to continue to grow and learn for the rest of our lives, we must beat these fears, not by making them go away, but by recognizing that there is something worse than discomfort, worse than the unknown, worse than failure. The worst thing is to never try at all. Overcoming our fears doesn't require that we stop caring about what happens. It just requires that we act in spite of our fear. Slavery to fear is much worse than the bruises and scars of a few falls. Letting fear control your actions is a statement of distrust in the goodness of God. If we allow fear to paralyze us, we'll look back at our life with remorse for all the times we could have, and should have, acted, but didn't. The good news is that all it takes to overcome many of our fears is to face them, with God's help, by taking the first step. The first step is always the hardest. Truth number 3. You can't get to success without risking failure. We all like to win. It sure beats losing. But a very promising competitive streak can also breed a very limiting dread of failure. If I do this and fail, we tell ourselves, disaster will follow and everyone will know I'm a loser. Do you see the all-or-nothing fallacy in that line of thinking? The choice is win or disaster. But the truth in this area is so liberating. Unless we're being intentionally foolish, a failure is never total. We aren't called to be successful all the time. We're called to be faithful, to take those first difficult steps, and to leave the results up to God. 14-year-old Caleb had wanted to record a CD for years. He'd finally saved up enough money to buy the equipment he needed and had transformed his bedroom into a studio. Now he just needed to learn how the equipment worked. He decided to learn by doing. It took Caleb 3 weeks to record 2 songs, and 3 more weeks of spinning dials and punching buttons to finish editing. This wasn't 6 weeks off and on. This was 6 weeks of every spare minute. He made dozens and dozens of mistakes trying to learn the equipment, and once had to start over completely after he thought he was finished. For all this work, he sold 3 CDs. Not counting grandparents, he sold 1. At times like these, we need to remember that anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. At first. Anything worth doing is worth failing at and trying again. The Bible says that the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up again. Interestingly enough, the other time the Bible references doing something 7 times, forgiving others, Jesus clarifies that 7 times might as well mean 70 times 7. Have any of us ever failed and then tried again at something 490 times? For that matter, have any of us ever tried even 7 times? Caleb's failure could have discouraged him from ever trying again. It was the kind of fiasco that seemed to say, "You have a brighter future sticking with PlayStation." But Caleb didn't see it that way. He was excited he had learned to use the equipment. Since that first attempt, Caleb has completed several larger projects, all in a fraction of the time. Having mastered the technical side of recording and mixing, he's able to focus on improving his guitar playing and songwriting. Plus, now that Caleb's friends are aware that he has an in-house studio and knows how to use it, they're bringing their instruments over and jamming with him. What Caleb learned is that it's okay to fail at hard things, because all effort, even failed effort, produces growth. So many of us allow little failures to keep us from gaining important skills, from maintaining vital relationships, or even from accomplishing great things in our lives. A do hard things perspective reminds us that all effort, even failed effort, builds muscle. It turns failure on its head, making it work for us rather than against us. It makes failure a way to grow stronger, not a reason to give up. An interesting map is on display in the British Museum in London. It's an old mariner's chart, drawn in 1525, outlining the North American coastline and adjacent waters. The cartographer made some intriguing notations on areas of the map that represented regions not yet explored. He wrote, "Here be giants, here be fiery scorpions, and here be dragons." Fortunately, explorers ignored his warnings and discovered whole new continents as a result. In this chapter, we've seen that it's not the giants, fiery scorpions, and dragons that keep us behind our fences. It's the fear of them. Once we take that first scary step with God's help and keep going forward, we'll actually experience the bigger, more fulfilling life God has in mind for us. Not only that, but we have seen that God is ready to work through us, even with our limitations, and bless our failures. Instead of worrying about future fears, we can, as Corrie Ten Boom wrote, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Take a moment to ponder the following questions. What could your life look like if your trust in God overcame your fears? How could your life be different if you chose to do hard things by stepping outside your comfort zone? The stories we've shared in this chapter are just examples of a reality that has been proven true in thousands of lives. What if a kid who suffers from severe anxiety attacks could go on to be a 15-year-old who has spoken to over 500,000 people at live events, appeared on national television numerous times, and even delivered speeches at the White House? Not possible? His name is Zach. And anything is possible with God. Throughout the rest of this book, we'll introduce you to many more young people, including Zach, whose lives have been transformed by surrendering themselves to God and following wherever He leads, even when it takes them way outside their comfort zones. To hear them tell it, That's where the very best things happen.